But the last psalm. No claps, no cheers. We made it. We did it. It's been a year. We're here. And I don't know that there's a better way to end psalms than with Psalm 150. It's the culmination of what all the psalms should lead to. And so as we're going to look at this, there's one word that's used throughout Psalm 150, and it's used 12 times in 6 verses. And so if you miss the main point of Psalm 150, then we need to go back to school. Summer's over. Summer school started. It's all about praise. It's all about praise. It's commanded in Psalm 150 12 times that we should praise the Lord. And so what I want to do is actually kind of take us back to school. Maybe you learned this in 5th grade English, maybe it was 9th grade English, depending on your intellect level, but for me, 9th grade, the 5 W's, where are my English people at? Who, what, when, where, why? And then they add this other one that like doesn't fit, but then they say how, right? Who, what, when, where, why, how? And so we're going to look at Psalm 150, and I think it breaks down in just an incredible way of telling us the who, what, when, where, why, and how to praise the Lord. That as we unpack this, my hope and my goal is that it just lifts our hearts to praise. That it just reminds us that this is what we were created for. That yes, there's 12 commands that we're commanded to do this, but my hope is, it's kind of like if your parents say, like, I command you to go eat dessert. You're like, yes, ma'am. I'll do that happily. That this would be the overflow of just who we are and what we desire and just what God has created us for. So let me read Psalm 150. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump into the 5 W's of Psalm 150. All right? It says this. The structure of this psalm is actually, within the Hebrew literature, it builds. And so it starts short and builds and builds and builds and builds and builds to a crescendo. And so you see this in the length of each verse. Look at it with me. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sounds. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him with the sounding cymbals. Praise him with the loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. God, would you help us this morning that we might get caught up in who you are and in what you've done, that in this sanctuary, you would be praised. Lord, that we might be a people of praise, that it might be our very identity and existence that we bring forth praise wherever we go because we understand who you are and what you've done, because we've experienced your goodness, because we know you, that we might sing of your praise. Lord, would you captivate our hearts? Would you give us a glimpse of who you are? Would you just remind us of your greatness this morning? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at the who. Who should praise? All right, we're going to start at verse 6 because it tells us the who of praise, that all people should praise. Who should praise? Verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That all people in all places, across all times and all cultures should praise the Lord. That everything that has breath, this actually points us all the way back to Genesis. That when God created mankind, he breathed life into them. That he even fashioned creation, and it says that everything that has breath was to be in dominion to mankind so that mankind could bring forth praise from even creation. That all of creation would praise him. Everything that has breath. Romans speaks of this, that all of creation is pointing us to God. And so let's just think about this for a minute, that that creation and everything that has breath is to praise God, that the birds and the fish, they don't really have breath. It's kind of that underwater stuff. The animals, everything that has breath is created for the purpose of bringing forth praise to the glory of God. That's what creation exists for. That's what mankind exists for. That's what you and I exist for, is to bring forth praise. That's your purpose. If you're struggling to know what your purpose is, or if you feel like you're failing in life, then let's just go back to the simplest thing and say, praise God, and you'll be fulfilling it. You'll find your identity in doing that which brings forth praise to the one who created you and knows you, to the one who created all things. But there's a bigger picture here that I don't want to miss, that if all people are to praise God, it's also why we see throughout the New Testament, and we see from the commands of Jesus, that then those who know God are to then go and share that other people might know him, and their purpose is to praise him. That we are commanded to take this message of praise, that God is worthy of praise and he has created you to praise him, to the ends of the earth. That there are people giving praise to created things rather than to the Creator. That our job is to go to all peoples, so that they can accomplish the command that Psalm 150 tells us. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. But we also get the promise in this. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you even to the ends of the earth, and so we can go to the ends of the earth. But then even more, we see in Revelation that all of the earth will sing praise. That Revelation tells us that the culmination of this life, the culmination of creation, is that it will end, it will result in everything bringing forth praise. This is the story that we're a part of. You know, the command to praise God could feel like another thing on your list, and it could heap guilt on you and like, I'm not doing that well. Or let me flip the other side of that, and it could inspire you and go, I get to be a part of something that is guaranteed to succeed, that will not fail, that is the purpose for which I was sent, and I get to be a part of proclaiming the praise to the one who is worthy. Psalm 150 ends the Psalms, all the songs saying he's worthy of praise from all peoples. But the what of praise, that's the who, all people, the what of praise is, what is praise? I think we get this out of verse 2. What is praise? Praise is recognition and declaration. Look at verse 2. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. His mighty deeds, the phrasing in this, and actually the preposition here, the praise him for his mighty deeds, could also read praise him with his mighty deeds. It's the same preposition that's used of praise him with the trump or the harp or the lute, that the way that you use those things is you declare them. Praise him with his mighty deeds. Tell him the mighty deeds which he has done, and as you recount them, it's praise. What does this look like in our life? Has God been good to you? Has God done anything on your behalf? His mighty deeds, what is it that he has done? Has he reached down and rescued you when you were in a pit that you could not rescue yourself from, called sin? God, you rescued me. It's praise. God, you saved me when I couldn't save myself. It's praise. God, you healed me when I couldn't heal myself. God, you removed the heart of stone and gave me a heart that longs after you when I couldn't do it on my own. Just to speak of a few. But maybe for your family, maybe for you personally, there's some mighty deeds which he has done. I heard somebody say one time that sometimes some of the most productive thing that you can do in your life is stare at a blank wall. I think it's brilliant. We're so distracted in this life that sometimes we need to stare at a blank wall and just recognize and remember that praise is about recognition. It's about recognizing that the very breath that you breathe comes from the one who created you to breathe it out in praise. It's the recognition of the giftedness that you have came from the one who fashioned you uniquely to bring forth praise. It's the recognition of the status and the stage and the platform or the favor that God has given you with other people or in this life is in order that you might sing his praise. Praise is about recognition and it's about declaration. But there's something else underneath this that I think is helpful for us, that in recognition and declaration, it's how we know God. God has made himself known by his deeds. Think about this for a minute. That we would not know God except that he had acted. Except that he had made himself known through his word and through creation. Except that God spoke, we wouldn't know him. And in knowing his deeds, as we recount them back to him, it's praise. The when of Psalm 150, the who is all people, the what is praise, the when is now and for all of eternity. It doesn't explicitly come out of a particular verse in Psalm 150, but I think it's all throughout it. It's the essence of what Psalm 150 is about, that we will praise from now for all of eternity. That there is a command to praise, that we would begin, but there is not a stop to this. And we know this because the praise goes on and on and on and on and on and on. That heaven is filled with the praise of what God has done and how he has acted. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. That when do we praise? It's right now. And it doesn't stop. But what would this look like? What would this look like in our life if we actually lived this out? See, in order to do that, there's an intentionality that we've got to partake in. An intentionality that in everything that I do, I'm going to praise God. That when you wake up, you would praise him. That when you're waking your kids up, you would praise him. That as you get ready to go to a job that maybe you hate, you would praise him. That as you interact with coworkers that maybe you love and maybe you don't, or maybe before we get to the coworkers, maybe you're driving and this is a place that oftentimes squashes your praise, that you would praise him. That what would it look like in our life to be characterized by praise? Maybe let me ask it this way. What kind of person would you be if your life was characterized by praise? If everyone that knew you knew they're always just praising God. They're all about praise. From now and for all of eternity. It's what we get to be a part of. And so if you struggle with it now, I just invite you to lean in. Take a little time of intentionality to stare at a blank wall and remember who God is and what he's done. The where of Psalm 150 is all places. Look at this with me in verse 1. It says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, and then it says, praise him in his mighty heavens. And so we see two location pieces here, and most commentators would say that the sanctuary is actually referring probably to the people of Israel that had either the tabernacle or the temple. And so there would have been a gathering of the people to a specific place in order that they would communally together praise. There would have been certain aspects of praise, of certain sacrifices or things that they would have done, but they would have come together as a community to praise. And so we see that praise should happen corporately. Don't forsake coming together to praise God. There's something that happens, and we know this throughout the scripture, to where it's even commanded, don't forsake the assembling together. Because corporately when we praise, we're reminded of things which we wouldn't be reminded of individually. We're reminded of his goodness. One of the things when I worked with students for so long is I loved having students involved in a church, because there's a point in time that teenagers think my parents are nuts. And they get to be reminded in a corporate setting that maybe all of us are nuts, but we're going to praise God. That this isn't just mom and dad doing this religious thing. This is a gathering of people who have devoted themselves to the praise of God. That we would come together in the sanctuary. Maybe there's a little more structure to that. But then we see the second one, that praise him in his mighty heavens. That if you think of the heavens and the expanse of the heavens, that there's nowhere you can go which is outside of this command to praise God. Nowhere. Praise him in the kitchen. Praise him in the car. Praise him in the office. Praise him in the classroom. Praise him in the garden. Praise him as you go and as you come. Praise him as you lie down and as you rise up. Praise him in all seasons, in all times, in all places, because he has done mighty deeds and he is worthy of your praise. That's what Psalm 150 is telling us. Where does God deserve your praise? Everywhere you go. There's certain things, I love this with the heavens, that sometimes just going outside in creation can remind you that he's worthy of praise. Sometimes feeling the sun reminds you he's worthy of praise. Sometimes seeing the rain can remind you he's worthy of praise. All people praise him for all of eternity in all places. Why? I love this. Verse 2. We've talked about it a lot, that because of who he is and what he's done. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. That God has acted. Just recount with me. Everything you know, he created. My kids love to do this. Everything you know, he created. He fashioned it together. Out of his own creativity. He put it all together in order that it would work together. That he has acted in creation, his mighty deeds. You know, there's that little comic that God stands next to these scientists and say, all right, we'll create something out of nothing. And the scientist grabs some dirt and he goes, no, get your own dirt. Everything that we know he created, his mighty deeds. But he didn't just create it, he created it beautiful. He created it with purpose. But then, as we know through the story of Scripture, because of sin, then it marred mankind, it marred creation. It didn't destroy it, but it distorted it. And God acted again. In salvation, in saving a people for himself. to demonstrate his glory, to demonstrate his goodness, to demonstrate his kindness, to demonstrate his mercy, to demonstrate his forgiveness, to demonstrate his steadfastness, to demonstrate his faithfulness. He saved. He heals. We see it throughout the scriptures that everywhere Jesus went, he brought about healing. Some of you have experienced this in your own life, healing of brokenness of a broken past, healing of a physical disease, healing of sin, and the shame and the guilt, and he heals. That he forgives, that he's merciful in it. That's just some of the things he's done, but those all flow out of who he is, that he's holy. He's set apart, perfect, merciful, kind, sweet, tender, inclines his ear to the cries of his people, that he's faithful, even when we're unfaithful, that he's faithful because he can't deny himself, that he's just. He can't be manipulated. He always does what's right. He's righteous. He's sovereign and has all power and authority and control. And that he's loving. And that he demonstrated his love for us, and that he laid his life down in order that we might live. Praise him for what he's done and for who he is. All people praise him for all of eternity in all places. The how. How do we praise him? This comes from verse 3-5. In all ways. I love this because it lists off 7 different instruments here, but I don't think it's about these specific instruments. I think it's about the variety and the plurality of these instruments. I think it's about everything that you have and everything that you are, bring your praise to him. Look at verse 3-5. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. That these were the instruments of the people of God at that time in that culture. And as I read that, it just reminded me of being in South Sudan. As we would share the gospel in these places, and as we saw churches planted in these places that had taken steps back in time, that were living in grass huts, no electricity, cooking everything on a fire, no refrigeration, that no technology, and yet as we would proclaim these truths to them, and as the church was formed, then they started to sing and dance and use their cultural instruments to bring forth praise. They would take bottle caps and fold them in half and put a little piece of metal in there and tie them around their ankles so that when they jumped, they would ring. Then as they jumped, they would clap their hands. And as they would sing these songs of praise of what God had done, his mighty deeds and who he was, someone would beat a drum. And they would usher forth praise. And one of the images that I'll never forget is they're singing and dancing and the dust would rise in praise to the one who is worthy, to the one who created it all. They would usher forth praise with everything that they had and everything that they are. So let me just ask you this. Let me make an application. What is it you're really good at? What is it that people say you're good at? What comes naturally to you? What is it that you're good at? Maybe you have 2 left feet like me. You can't dance. But maybe you can write really well. Maybe you can organize things well. What is it in your job that you're good at? You see things and you can bring things into existence from your ideas. Maybe you draw or do art. Is it your words? Is it your actions? What is it that you do well? Now, how do you use that to praise God? That's what this is speaking of. that your very being of everything you are and what oozes out of you would be used to glorify God. This room's full of a lot of doctors. It's full of a lot of medical professionals. Your mind and your hands, do you praise God? Do you issue forth praise to the one who fashioned your patience? A lot of business people in this room. Does your ability to make money and to organize people and to see avenues of making revenue, does it issue forth praise? Or does it point back to you? See, that's what this is all about. How? With plurality and variety across culture, across giftedness, in all ways, issue forth praise. He ends in this way, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But let me just remind us, this comes at the end of the Psalms, and I believe that there's a reason for this. That if Psalm 150 came at the beginning and there was just this command, 12 commands, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, it might feel a little empty and it's like, well, I just have to do this. It's commanded and so I just have to do it. But I want to just remind us, it comes at the end of Psalm 150, and as we've walked through the Psalms this year, we've been reminded that the Psalms are full of a lot of ups and downs. The Psalms are full of a lot of emotion, maybe like Psalm 23, that you feel like you're in the valley of the shadow of death. And yet even there, as you continue to walk, it will issue forth praise. That we've walked through Psalms of repentance and forgiveness, feeling the guilt and the shame of our own sin, feeling the condemnation of our sin, that we have offended a holy God, and yet even through the path of repentance and forgiveness, we issue forth praise. We've seen Psalms of lament. God, why? God, where are you? Of seeking God. God, where are you? I don't feel you. That we almost gave up, and yet then to be reminded of who God is and what he's done, it issues forth praise. Listen, I don't want to heap guilt on you. I just want to remind you and call you to faith. Don't give up. Keep walking. He's with you, and it will end in praise. Maybe you're wrestling through forgiveness. How do you forgive someone and you've felt the pain and hurt? And yet even in that, there's a pathway to praise. Maybe you're in a place of comfort. Even in that, there's a place to praise. Maybe you're in a place of joy and celebration, and so the praise comes easily. Don't forget to speak it. That as we cry out and as we declare what God has done, it issues forth praise. This is an expression of our faith. It is the expression of our faith working out that our lives are to be a chorus. And that as God's people under all the heavens, all people, in all places, in all ways, there rises a chorus. If you've ever listened to the incredible music of Handel's Messiah, then it gets to the final hallelujah chorus. Many people say that it couldn't have ended in any other way except just to praise. But if you've ever been there, then you know that when it gets to the very end, everyone stands as the hallelujah chorus is sung. So that's what I'd like for us to do. I think it's appropriate. I'm gonna ask that you stand. And we're gonna read Psalm 150 aloud together. Don't be shy. That it might be a chorus of all of our voices joined together to praise the one who's worthy. We'll get it on the screen. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty deeds. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.